Meeting to order. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No protest, everyone stood up.
What's that?
No protest, everyone stood up.
Okay, I didn't even look. Okay, first on the agenda is approval of the October 4th minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes for Tuesday, October 4th, 2016.
Second subject to a change.
Okay.
I'll put a second and then make some corrections too, under discussion.
Okay, we have a second and...
Second subject to change.
Yep.
Which is on page 6, where you'll see 6 line, we can put a period after the 3 a.m. And then the state, which then delete, which resulted in, and substitute. Then there was a death at Gladys.
He said 2:30 or 3:30?
2:30.
2:30?
It's 2:30. Yeah, Steve said 3:30.
All right, okay.
I knew what he was saying.
So you, period after that?
Yep. And then, which resulted in, cross that out. And put, then there was. Anything else, please?
No.
Shannon?
I don't know if that's what was said. So I'm not sure that I would have... My motion was to approve the minutes, not with that necessarily being crossed out, because I don't know what was on the recording that Paul Bear said. I know that he did also supply us with his updated, and it doesn't...
Tina,
I can read it,
too. Tina can read it.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. One second.
I already closed it down because we had the conversation earlier. One second. Steve asked me to listen to the recording. And what the surveyor said was, it was a public safety issue why that committee was formed when a department didn't respond to a difficulty of breathing call at 2:30 in the morning. Period. Then had the death of the person's name down at Gladys Green.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Sorry about that. Were there any more, Steve?
No.
On that one? On page 1, under correspondence, section A, support of clean energies program. I think it's just energy like E-N-E-R-G-Y apostrophe S instead of E-N-E-R-G-I-E-S. On page 2, halfway down, section C, item 5, Doug Cutler, town manager, should be town administrator. I know you said manager, but I think it's official that I was administrator. And this is Smith and Walker are handling the arrangements. Smith and Walker Funeral Home is handling the arrangements. Under 6, the HVAC at the library. I would recommend HVAC project at the library has been submitted to Eversource. On page... And then on page 6, I didn't know if it's called the Fire Safety, Fire Service Advisory Committee or Fire Safety. So I made a note that it was, I think it's the Fire Safety Advisory Committee, but I'm not 100%.
It should be, I honestly don't remember off the top of my head.
I believe it's Fire Service.
And I may have said, or Paul may have said in those words.
Okay.
So it's not that it's out of context.
Okay, and then did we want to discuss the, is this under correspondence, or did we want to discuss what we received from Mr. Bear with regards to his comments?
Well, Mr. Bear did submit that by email, and prior to the meeting, he had a conversation with Tina, and they went over the exact language verbatim, and
agreed on what was actually said.
Okay.
So okay. It's a moot point at this point.
Okay, thank you. And that was it for me.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, most of this, correspondence-wise, a lot of it is just notifications. We're having the emergency management, as you know, is having a drill, 10/29 and November 2nd. Eversource just let us know that they will be participating on the scenario on the 2nd. Chamber of Commerce, Northeast Chamber of Commerce is doing a after hours, business after hours on November 2nd, that Wednesday. It's 7 for members, 13 for non-members. They get together and they talk about a variety of topics. It's one of their monthly meetings. The Community Foundation of Eastern Connecticut on Wednesday, November 16th, is having a reception at the Lyman Allen Art Museum in New London. So if anybody wishes to go to that, down in New London. Access is having its annual receptions and awards ceremony in Middletown, in stores at 625 Middletown Turnpike on the 27th of this month. It's a Thursday at 5:30 p.m. If anybody wishes to go to that, they do want an RSVP, and it's $20 per person. The CNB Bank is holding their 2016 Turkey Trot 5K Trail Race and 3K Walk on November 13th, Sunday, at the scenic West Thompson Lake. Looking to raise money, so if anybody wants to do that, that'll be going on that day. There is an application here. If anybody wishes to submit a team, and again, it's for funding. The Thompson Historical and the Connecticut Eastern Railroad Museum on October 22nd is Rail Day in Thompson. This is put on, through the Historical Society. It's at the Turtle Out Memorial High School building and memorial room at 9:30 a.m. at Riverside Drive. At 10 to 11 a.m., they're going to have the talking about the new steam locomotive that Valley Railroad Company in Essex operates. There'll be a coffee break, then we'll go on to discussion of the old Ramsdale engine, that for the dedication where that went from 11 to 11:30. The railroad films of Frank and Alice Ramsdale will be from 11:30 to 12:15. Then 12:15 to 12:30, then we talk about the great East Thompson train wreck that is in the history books. So they do have a full day right up through 1 o'clock with a walktober of the East Thompson wreck and East Thompson after. So it's a great program that's put on. If you're a train buff, it's a lot of good information that comes out. And that's on the 22nd. We did get notification from AT&T. We do have a cell tower on 38 Ridge Road. They are going to be doing some work up there. So it's just notification. It's part of the lease agreement. And the Connecticut Fire Chiefs Association the FEMA grant, FEMA Safer grant, is going back out again. That should be starting up, I think, in the next week, if I'm correct. And they have to be we'll be planning that, which is part of the equipment, so that program's coming up. And this is a duplicate of the SBA for the tower on Ridge Road that they will be modifying with upgrades. So that's all that I have for things that are going on in the area that came through correspondence. Anybody have anything else?
I have no correspondence.
Yep.
Selectmen's comments. I will be long-winded as always because there's a lot of information, so I will defer to my co-parts here to take up the least amount of time because I'm going to be long-winded.
All right, personal note. I mentioned this in the meeting we had at Memorial Day that I had a classmate who was company mate schooling who from West Point. He was Titan McKean. He probably contacted that, may have contacted that from Agent Art and he's serving Vietnam. And we just asked him because I'll be with that. Thank you for the time. So this is down for our system.
Sorry to hear that.
But that's all I
have. Thank you.
None.
Okay. It's up to me. Okay, as always, thank the Thompson Hill Fire Department for hosting our meeting up here tonight. It's great to get out in this community and see the various areas. We do thank them for allowing us for the usage of the fire station for our selectmen's meeting tonight. Okay, currently Leo is up on Reardon Road and he is paving this week. Tomorrow will be the third day. He's laying down 2,000 tons of asphalt for the roads that were ground up last year to finish that. He's got some good weather, so that's working out well. There's no current update on the bridge railings and the punch list for the completion. I think they're waiting for the railings that may have been delayed, other than, you know, a couple of minor punch list items with any project.
Could we get the road list back on the agenda so we can get that? Address the cost of the most roads.
Yeah, I just didn't put it on at this time because I haven't got any information on that. So but that's not a problem. Okay. The Connecticut Water parking lot issue. I did hand out a quick map. I got that after 3 o'clock this afternoon. I have not talked to CME to on the changes that they put in, so I do have, there is some notification on it, so I give you that so you can look at that at your leisure, and I will get additional information as soon as I speak with CME. And that is to acquire the back parking lot and change the easement and so forth for Connecticut Water still to be able to access their property with the water towers. Okay, UConn students will be working on plans for a new salt shed at the storage at the highway garage. We've been very fortunate with the engineering and so forth that we've been able to hand off some various projects and get some input from them, especially with on a variety of things as they have done. This is one that they undertook because with the Lorraine watershed area around the highway garage, and we do use rock salt and mix. And with the new requirements and so forth, they're going to design and make recommendations on for that because we do test our wells on a regular basis up there. On the economic development, UConn students are coming in on the 21st, which is Friday, at 9:30 for a possible EDC study on our economic growth in town. We'll take a look at it from their point of view. So we're going to see what they can offer and work with that. On Tuesday, the 25th, UConn students, another group of UConn students, will be coming up. One of the roads is Fabian Road that needs to be reconstructed, a lot of drainage and so forth. And they're going to come up and study that and give us the what they think needs to be up there for us to reconstruct that road. On another note, steep grant that we applied for water and sewer going into the industrial park, we did not get that. I did get a call from the Lieutenant Governor's office stating that we were not announced on that. And they cited some issues with the state conservation and development plan that the state has. And some of the discussion around that when we did inquire further had to do with the Tech Park in Putnam and some money that had been invested in 929 Riverside Mill as places the state had invested money. So we're continuing to look for ways of securing grants to get the water and sewer in and find out where we are lacking in this particular grant and see what we need to do to modify the grant to make it applicable to their plan.
Were they citing the other locations that we had already received funds for because they just wanted us to be aware that they've awarded, or
I think they made it aware that they had been investing money in Northeast Connecticut. And a few years ago when they started the iTech Park, when Senator Williams was in, there was one of those things that they said that for the economic development at that time, where they were investing heavily into the tech park, that the surrounding towns should jump on board and get involved, and that maybe some of the funding in the future would not be as readily available with this. That was the talk back then. But this is the stuff that we're looking further into why we didn't make it into their plan.
Okay.
So that way we can tailor the grant to make sure that we're applicable with it. So we're trying to dig further as to the demand. I did have a meeting, and I'll come up, it comes on the NECOG. I was down in North Franklin for a meeting on Wednesday. No, it was Friday last week. And I was talking to the first electman of Franklin, and they have their private industrial and commercial industrial parks up there. They just got a U.S. Economic Development Grant for water and sewer up there through the U.S. government. So I did ask them to send me information on that and their application and how that worked. I did get that, and I did turn it over to Marianne to... Currently, the grant did not accept it, but to start working to see if we can muster some funds for the through the U.S. Economic Development. Okay, we are still waiting for, because I did mention this CERC, which is works hand in hand with the state economic development on the menu items for the economic development growth to do some studies. You know, up here as well, and we still have not heard back from them as to what their menu of items, different programs and stuff they can provide us with. So we're working on getting that. The highway maintainer applications close tomorrow at the end of the day. We will have the applications available for review. I would hope late sometime on Thursday, and I will have the office call you when the packets are ready, so that way you can pick them up. On the energy plants between Killingley and Burville, at the last meeting, I did resend out the letters to the Connecticut Siting Council on the Killingley plant, and I did send a copy to the Woonsocket Rhode Island on the Burville plant, the information that we had sent them, because now they're looking for water from Woonsocket, Rhode Island. So we did pass up our feelings on that to them. So they do have that. Okay, NECOG. I'm on the paramedic program that's going out for a new RFP with changes. That RFP just went out, and we've extended the current contract till the first of the year.
Well, sorry, can an RFP
it's a request for proposal to provide paramedic intercept program that ALS where it's required in dispatch. This has been going on, I think, since...
This is for another provider, though?
Yeah, the current contract is up with the current provider, which is America. So every time the contract is up, they go out for rebid. So we modified, it was, they're redoing that, and that has gone back out with some concerns and changes as to what is going on with that part of the program. And the contract did expire, they're extending it out in order to keep the coverage going until we get the proposals back. I just became a member of the Eastern Connecticut Workforce Investment Board. It has to do with unemployment and helping people that are looking for jobs and retraining and that sort of thing. I wish I could give you more. My first meeting was on Friday. They currently have two offices. One is in Danielson, and one is they're looking to relocate from New London up to Mata in trying to centralize. So that's as much as I know about that. I just got on the that board.
Is that made up of town leaders?
Or? It's made up of town leaders. There's an executive board, and then there's a all the towns that are made up of on the eastern part.
And they could locate them in Thompson.
Well, they're trying to keep it because of the lack of funding and so forth, and trying to keep it essentially located, you know, as possible to the whole east of the river. We are in Danielson currently, which I didn't know.
I appreciate it.
And then we're going to move it up from New London up to Montville to cover, you know, from Norwich and so forth down. NECOG is still working on working out the insurance issues with the transportation for the to the vets, especially to the VA in Providence. And we are working on completing the with the mass transit, working on a bus route that would connect our current Northeast Transit District to Massachusetts, so that way they can get into Webster, towards Worcester and Southbridge. So there's a few things with making those connections that they're working on.
If I might, currently the bus only goes into North Gilbert, right? It comes over to Town Hall essentially and stops.
And a few other choice stops along.
But as far as going north, it stops to Town Hall?
The
library, that's about it?
Pretty much. Yes.
Any chance to at least go into Plymouth or something? Even if it doesn't go as far as
to go into Southbridge and so forth, they're talking about having to pick up in Southbridge and continuing the route up there and moving further north and tying in with Massachusetts to give our people more of a...
But right now it goes only as far as...
Unless they requested directly to go pick up somebody specifically. So they would call in to the transit district.
Is that available for anyone or only for handicappers?
There's two different types of bus routes that they do now. One is a... directly for somebody that needs a special type pickup, that has a medical issue, going to the doctors, whatever. Okay. The other routes are going from certain places.
The standard route.
Yeah, the standard route. Right. Okay. So they have two specific routes.
The on-call service is provided. And if you don't know that, I appreciate that. The standard route only goes to the Town Hall, I think, in the
Town Hall, correct.
But not further north than that.
Doesn't go anything further.
So something that this could not be is just out of luck at this stage.
Because to the best of my knowledge,
we have a decent population up there that could take advantage of that. I wonder if we might, even if we can't service as far as going into Massachusetts or something, we might not.
Okay.
See if we could extend the service.
I'll speak with John Filcher. And I will get a actual route of stops.
Okay.
So that way you can review them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it doesn't go that far, but if we could, even if it's not as frequent as the current services, if we could provide some service to that part of our community, I think it might be helpful. If a lot of senior citizens in that area, maybe they're not as comfortable driving as others are, or don't have access to transportation, that might be a service that we could add to our community that would be a great benefit to some folks. So.
Well, they can call either way if they needed to go somewhere. But you mean you want like a specific stop in Quetaval, like
make it part of the route.
And there may be. I'm not sure. I really can't answer. I know they definitely stop at the Town Hall on a regular basis.
At the end of the route. But
and that could be.
Thank you.
Okay, Emergency Management will be holding their drill on the 29th from 8 to 2 p.m., which is a Saturday. Steve asked me to, to let you guys know if you're free to stop in and see how this goes. You know, it's, I believe this one here is going to be a flood issue. I think that's what he had said, for a problem. And that, and they throw different scenarios, and they're supposed to react and do certain things, you know, as everything changes. So he welcomes both of you to stop by and, say hi. You don't have to be there 8 to 2, just pop in and just kind of get an overview.
I recall some of the correspondence you mentioned earlier talked about Eversource is going to participate, but on November 2nd. I believe there are two dates that the
29th and the 2nd.
The 2nd, but yeah. Eversource is going to participate on the 2nd, not the 29th.
That's according to this
letter. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, not a problem. But you are correct. And we are having a alternative energy meeting at the community center Thursday at 6 p.m. on October 20th between the Board of Selectmen, Board of Finance, and the Board of Ed Committee for Energy. So that will be, that has been noticed. We both, I believe, got a copy. I know Steve got a copy of it. And Shayna, you're aware of it as well. So it's a discussion on where the three boards feel about the alternative energy and what direction the meeting should take a half hour. They'll be having another meeting, the Board of Ed, from 6:30 to 7. And I did have a meeting with, I did give you this information, with the Gladys Green, Barney Snay, and Debbie Flanagan, because we've been talking, they're finishing up those grants and the renovations up there. And I did ask them about the, what had been mentioned about the sprinkler system and so forth. And this was dated March 10th of 14 that came from the project architect that gave the rationale and the different codes and description of the work, etc., as to the thoughts on a sprinkler system and what it would involve putting it into those buildings. So it's there for you to read.
Yeah. Did you sum it up as a
as a whole
recap of it? If you can't, that's all right.
It basically says that they would need. In order to do another level of fire protection to buildings, it comes at a considerable cost. The sprinkler system requires enormous amounts of infrastructure, starting with new water mains to reach property, sprinklers, the piping in the building, the possibility of...
So they're saying no?
Yeah, they said no, that it'd be over $500,000 just to do the project based on March 10th of 2014. Okay. But I had a conversation with that based on the grants and so forth. We were talking about the next phase that they were hoping to do to finish that off, which had to do with some electrical and sidewalk issues that they were having up there and the backup generator. So I had mentioned it to her. She had provided it to me. That's why I provided that to you as well. And that covers everything.
Ken, just looking at this, I know we've talked about the fact that some of the parking lot at the town hall belongs to the water company.
Correct.
But this, and again, just looking at this, I'm not sure exactly what I'm looking at here, but this map seems to be saying that we're going to be giving land to the water company. Is that our understanding? That's news to me.
Well, if you look at...
Is that right?
Yes. We received this.
Yep.
And we received this.
Gotcha.
Okay. So they still need access to their property.
I understand easements and things, but this is, where are you going to convey property to?
They convey this to us, and this is the latest proposal from the engineers. And I haven't had a discussion with them, because I just got it, as I said, on 3:30. They need, and there's possibilities of, you know, this is what the engineers came up.
I didn't realize.
Based on the zonings and so forth.
Okay.
Okay. If you look at this particular section, this goes right through the stone wall where it goes up around to the back, where we currently park the town vehicle, which means that the, they're pretty close to the building, the way this is set up now, so.
No, I just didn't, this is the first time I realized that they were wanting property in exchange. I didn't realize that.
This was part of the give and take that is being proposed.
I didn't know that.
And that has to do with the fact that you cannot landlock the property here for Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So they still have avenues, so.
Okay.
Just didn't know that.
Yep. And I will get some rationale from the latest, from this revision, from Craig Beagle from CME. Like I said, I got it after 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's pretty new, like, it's a new concept. I didn't understand it before and heard that.
All right. Citizens' comments. Al Landry.
I want to thank the board for sending those letters out. There's just been some changes in the projects and energy projects, power plants. Thank you very much. And you talked about the CND turkey trot. That is their financial sponsor. It's actually put on by Trails and Recreation, I believe. And the proceeds go to Trails and Parks. So I just wanted to clarify.
You are correct. Thank you all. Anybody else? John?
I'm Charles Passer. Mine is actually three parts, and I'll try to make it quick. On September 20th, we had the selection meeting at West Thompson Fire Department, and I brought up some major concerns in regards to underfunding for personal protective equipment, and I was just curious. I believe the majority of the chiefs have submitted their proposals for equipment budgets, and I was just curious where the selection stand in regards to that, and if there's any updates. And obviously, at the end of this year, we're putting our people into jeopardy should anything arise where we can't get that equipment. I think the town people need to know that. We have volunteers that generate hundreds and hundreds of hours a year to help the town of Thompson, and we're finding ourselves putting them into jeopardy because of the lack of equipment and funding. So that was one question that I do have, is if there is any update in regards to that. I had gotten an email stating that the town was willing to help us out with the FEMA grant, and thank you. But a couple questions that come up is, through that FEMA grant, we've been putting an individual basis, there has to be a host fire company. I don't know if there's been any, I haven't heard any contact yet of who the host fire company would be. It's a 95-5 matching grant, so there's a 5% matching for that. And how would that be acquired should the town put in for all fire departments? So again, I'm just curious if there's any update on that, because there hasn't been any real communication between the chiefs and Mary Ann, who would be willing to help us out. So I'm just curious. And the third part would be the hydrant system for the town. I know that's been brought up on many occasions. It's severely lacking for performance for fire service. Chief Bledrow and myself did a drill last night up to Turtlock School System, and we were actually able to acquire some TITO measurement devices where we could actually get some measurements off of the hydrants. I contacted Connecticut Water months and months ago. They don't do their own testing of the hydrant system. They contract that out. The woman I spoke with could not give me any information as to when they would do it. The last report that I have on my records is 1997. Was the last time that we got any actual testing on the hydrant system. And it was subpar then, and according to our findings last night, that majority of the hydrants are somewhere between 400 to 500 gallons a minute of the school system. That is absolutely atrocious for the size of that complex, never mind any standard residential housing. The average fire truck is pumps are between 1,500 to 2,000 gallons a minute that they can put out. A standard hose line, which we use on a small residential house, can be anywhere between 600 to 700 gallons a minute. So if you take that into effect and the size of the school system, for us to adequately protect the Turlock school system, that can happen. We can use rivers, we can use ponds and everything else. That's something that we have to do because the system is terrible. So again, third part of that was wondering what's happening, if anything, with the hydrant system. We are getting, the fire departments are being assessed with a $77,000 bill, I believe it is, taken out of our budget for hydrants that kiss them goodbye. We can't use them. The best one in the system is, at this point in time, from the last recordings, where the River Mill Village, across from the River Mill,
Center Street, Marshall Street,
that was 1,200 gallons a minute. My thought process is they just put a new hydrant just below the new million gallon water tank up behind Quinn Church Shop, so I assume that that would be the best one now. However, the way that the hydrant system is, it's a loop system. So the minute you tie into one, the rest of them go down. I guess the best way to think about it is if you have 10 garden hoses off of one feeder, the minute you start opening up more than one or two, the others start to dwindle down. Same sort of thing in the hydrants. So that was my third question. I'm just curious if we have any updates on any one of those three questions.
I don't have updates, but I have a question. For the hydrant system, how do you increase the amount of gallons that are going into the output?
New piping in the hose.
And larger piping than what's already there. And in the 97 report, it mentions all of the what's currently there.
I don't have a listing of what the pipe sizes are. I have a listing of static pressure, residual, and gallon per minute flow. Well, that's all I have.
There was an increase up in the water. There's mains that have been recently replaced on Floral Ave, etc., up in the lots. There is a newer study than 1997 on pressure, because we had asked for that back in, I think, 2010, when we had a meeting with Connecticut Water back in the day back then. You may not have received it, but matter of fact, I think that meeting might have been at your station back then. I may be wrong, but I know we have discussed that before, and they did acknowledge that they are replacing the mains as economically as they can. You know, it's a 100-year-old system, and they're constantly, you know, doing that as well. And the $77,000 is in the fire service budget, but that's because it's associated with the fire service. That's where it goes. And that doesn't mean that people look at your budget and they think it's going to the fire departments, right. And that is just for accounting purposes because it's related
to... I've looked at other municipalities and most of their...
It's where we currently have it.
The other municipalities in the area that do have hydrants usually put under the general government side of it. So,
but that's where it had been set up back then. As far as the equipment, I don't know what has been sent to the office other than what you've sent us, John. If people have sent more in to Mary Ann, that would be good, because we had no idea what the full cost and the extent is to bring everybody up to speed at this time, which we did ask for at the previous meeting. So that way we know what numbers that we're dealing with. So. And I know that I did ask Mary Ann to look to see if there was any type of funding anywhere to help with the situation that's at hand. And she said there is the FEMA, which we get notified of everything, and that she was willing to, she did reach out to the fire departments to get their input. Like I said, I don't know what you've gotten to them, to her as of yet.
The only thing that I got was one email and correspondence saying that she'd be willing to do it.
Yep, and to work with the departments. So I think we know that we have it from you. I'm sure Steve has
I'm waiting for pricing.
Some pricing. So the sooner we get, you know, that stuff and all the departments respond, it's going to help the board decide, you know, what we need to budget and go forward with.
I'm just looking at where the FEMA grant would be applied for this year. The awards don't usually get out much before July or August, which would be the 17th. From there, if there is any awards, which tend to be very slim and none, then at that point, then each individual fire department will go out for pricing. In regards to personal protective equipment, coats and so forth have to be measured and so forth in order. So there's usually a 2 months to 3 months after that. So again, the FEMA grant is great, and thanks to the town for willing to help out. That doesn't help us out before the end of this year. That would be good for 2017. That's my only concern. And I need to stress that heavily, that come the end of this year, I will have to put our volunteers potentially in harm's way. We have hose that will no longer be able to be tested. There were 213 lengths of hose last year. I know in my department we lost 6 lengths this year through testing. I have a total of 63 lengths of hose that I can't use technically. Can I put it on a truck? Sure. I'll put the liability in the town's hands if they would like, if it blows, because obviously there's going to be some sort of litigation. I'm not going to do that. I've got 10 coats and 9 pairs of pants for my members, men and women, that as of the end of this year, because of the NFPA ruling, are no longer able to be used in emergency services in situations. I myself, the chief of the department, mine is done at the end of this year. I'm not going to stop doing and helping the townspeople, the town of Thompson. But if I get hurt, you know, we've talked about insurance premiums that came up last year during the budget season. And our past select woman, who we were dealing with, is no longer part of the town. When we had the fire advisory committee, we spent hours and weeks and months compiling financial statements, only to hear, and they quote, "We'll put in for level funding." I don't want to keep bringing up these negatives, but you know, God forbid somebody gets hurt. You know, I just need to stress, our townspeople need to know that they may not be adequately protected. We're putting our volunteers in jeopardy by not having the proper funding for protective equipment. And I just need to continuously reiterate that. I will be at the Board of Finance meeting to do the same thing on Thursday night. I have the information compiled that I gave to you through Selectmen, and I will give to them. You know, I understand things are tight, but in the 30 years that I've been a volunteer for this town, it seems to keep getting pushed farther and farther down. And it can't be any longer. Prices keep going up. It's nice to have these beautiful red trucks. but if we can't use them adequately or we can't adequately protect our own townspeople that are volunteering, it's pretty sad. It's also quite different than what it did 10 years ago. Since the 9/11 attacks, all the entire fire service structure has changed rapidly because of terrorism. Most of your big cities now are equipping their medical personnel with bulletproof vests. Eventually, that's going to happen in Thompson. I think at this point in time, since January of this year, we're working on about 10 heroin overdoses in the town of Thompson. 10. We had 3 last year. We're now up to 10, and we're only in October. It changes rapidly. I can't stress that enough. Again, I leave it in your hands, and the liability is there. You know, I don't know how many times we have to discuss it, but I would like it to be put somewhere at the top of your list for all the fire departments. And again, I just was curious if there was anything more. Can we answer the hydrants and the FEMA grant? I was just curious if there's anything further on the budget.
Get us the information for short-term and long-term planning, because but all 5 fire departments, because when we go to budget, we need it to budget, to plan ahead. So much is going to be needed now, so much is going to be needed in over a period of years to keep it all up. And we need to be able to plan that. So we do need that information from you guys, all 5 fire departments, in order to present what we need and have the facts and everything and support you going forward. So we're all on the same team here. But please provide us, you know, with this information, because the first thing that's going to come out of the Board of Finance is, what is this all going to cost us today, tomorrow, and the day after? And we do need to have that to present.
But we're in the here and now, and I understand the budgets, and I understand.
But you have short term, you have long term, and we need to.
I have at the end of 2016.
That there's 4 other departments, okay? We need it from all 5.
Would a unified template help on top of a gentle reminder that everyone could just kind of use and fill in and submit back to us? Or has the Fire Service Advisory Committee come up with those types of documents in the past that help you guys?
There's been no fire advisory.
They haven't.
Okay.
Fire departments have different needs at this time.
Right.
John is searching for gear.
This has to do with NFPA, the majority of it.
Well, yeah.
Because of the expiring of various equipment over the mix,
right,
with requirements.
I mean, my department seems to be okay with fire gear, but we're lacking airbags, SCBA. We have 15 packs and they're all outdated, according to NFPA. They're functional, but they're...
I was only asking because I'd be willing to put together a template if I thought it would help short-term, long-term planning for everyone to get what we need as a board filed and submitted.
Well, I mean, you can send them something to use. It's not a problem. With each of the departments, they all have certain gear that is expiring at various different times. They should be in control of their gear and their inventory to know when those schedulings are coming up, and should be able to provide that fairly easy to us, so that way we can formulate the plan that we need to move forward, short and long term.
That is actually a pretty good idea, because a lot of times there's different, John's list might be different format than mine. We all have a unified format. They basically fill in blank. And I mean, you guys can just pick one up and look at it, and, you know, that might help us out. And make it a lot easier for the departments that are really lacking in attendance or
time to actually do all of this, you know, and get those numbers to you in a timely manner.
Do all the chiefs, are the chiefs all responsible for that inventory, or do you delegate that to someone? Or does that vary by department?
It probably varies by department, I can answer that for everybody.
Okay.
The only thing John is in charge of is the OSHA testing cycles for hoes and ladders and the trucks, and they do that on a yearly basis.
Okay.
So one chief handles that. The rest of them buy equipment at various different times and stages of their departments when they can, and stuff goes into service at a variety of different times and years.
Might be willing. I'll take a look and see what's already out there. There's no need to reinvent the wheel and see what other towns have done. See if there's something that you guys can use for the immediate future moving forward, because I think the problem too is that obviously communities waiting for answers and can't find out what our tentative or, you know, action plan is, if we have one, until the other four departments submit theirs. So maybe a gentle reminder and or even a deadline. At this point, I hate to say deadline, but sometimes it holds people more. I know personally deadlines work for me. It holds me a little bit more accountable.
All right, we'll send out another reminder to get this in by a certain date. Anything else, John? Thanks. Anybody else? Mr. Clemento.
John Clemento, Fulton. Have we heard anything from the water company on that land acquisition for the back park lot yet?
Yeah, you walked in late. Already talked about it.
So you already talked about that, okay.
Yeah, we got a rough draft we have to review.
The roof on the library, any mention of that on the next one referendum?
We weren't able to do it for the federal election. We're going to schedule that after the first of the year.
I heard a rumor that Mr. Rice and Mr. Jolin, they did their homework, and supposedly if we don't put that actual roof on there, that they won't get any grants, money from, or be able to apply for any grants. Did anybody get a written statement from whoever told them that to verify that story?
I believe the town planner has that information in our office.
Yeah, I think that should be publicly read so we could get a copy of that. And my last question is, I walked in late. This thing from Steve Herbert, what's this all about?
Haven't discussed it yet.
We're going to discuss it, though. Will we be able to comment on this or no?
We'll
comments as appropriate.
Yeah. If you want to comment now, go ahead. You got it at the end.
Definitely want you guys to discuss it so I can comment on it, for sure. I'm wild in Florida once again, and miss you guys. Yeah. Glad I'm back. That's all I got.
Mr. Bennett. You don't even have to speak, we already know you want to speak.
Absolutely. Thank you. Paul Perry, Thompson Road. First, I'll go to my item number 6, the fire departments and the fire safety advisory committee, which has been defunct for a while. We were told they did all their work. A report was going to be generated. So, do we have a report tonight?
No report as of yet.
I'd like to know when there needs to be a deadline. Even third graders are told they have to have their homework in by a certain time, that it just doesn't go on and on and on and on. That was an important committee. You're hearing the issues from the fire departments. You're severely underfunded. Nobody wants to talk about this stuff. It gets put off and put off. It's a hard decision. The fire departments don't want to get together and join together and create a unified department. They want to maintain separateness. It's time. It's time to do the tough things that have to be done. You heard from one chief stating that there's equipment that's outdated, shouldn't be used. You're operating like Thompson is this special place that nothing is ever going to happen here. I can tell you, the news report last week, UConn EMS services, sure as hell did not think they were going to drive over somebody in front of their garage door. Webster Fire Department, a couple years ago, didn't think they were going to back over something in front of their fire station. Tragedies happen. I gave you the OLR reports last week about loss of immunity. When you know something is wrong and don't do something or do the wrong thing, you lose your immunity from liability. The town's going to be in a very bad position. I would hate to see a volunteer firefighter or a member of the public pay the ultimate price because this town didn't fund the fire departments and make sure they had the equipment that was up to date, required by law. If something happens to a firefighter that went in with defective equipment, it was in the news. Hartford paid fire department, paid firefighter, had an SCBA unit, and they got sued and found in violation. Things happen. You never know when. The funding has to be there. This budget for the fire departments in this town is obscene. You can spend money on everything else. Speaking of spending money on everything else, the stupid FOI complaint in Hartford for the P&Z has now racked up over $2,700 in bills. And you, Kenny, and Shana just authorized another $175 to be paid to an attorney in this case to review a recent FOI decision. This is not the Nuremberg trial that you've wasted over $2,700. Let us set a turnout here for the firefighters, SCBA PAC, the payphone at the library, last one that we discussed. 3 years worth of wasted money, there's another set of turnout here. It keeps going on. The money is being wasted. It's not that the town doesn't have it. The fire department that I went to a meeting down south about a couple weeks ago, their annual budget is $1.4, $1.5 million. And that's what it takes to run a department. It's one department and two stations. They do 1,900 calls a year, approximately. They wouldn't think of sending out one of their volunteers in expired turnout gear or air pack because they know what the cost can be. And how you can sit up there and not make the tough decisions. I did buy something for as a donation to the town. I saw it and it was glaring. Hopefully you'll put it up in the town hall. Hopefully in the selectman's office. The inscription reads, "A true leader has the confidence to stand alone, the courage to make tough decisions, and the compassion to listen to the needs of others. He does not set out to be a leader, but becomes one by the quality of his actions and the integrity of his intent. In the end, leaders are much like eagles. They don't flock, you find them one at a time." It's time, as we've discussed before, we see a West Point jacket up there. There's values that are instilled at West Point, and they need to come to this town. The town is spending money in the wrong places. Change in channel. The building committee is now asking to take on the solar systems at the school. They also have, didn't know, a subcommittee for alternative energy. We had a solar advisory committee. We had a renewable resources committee. There's more and more committees, but nothing's getting done. The last thing the building committee needs is to be put in charge of that. There apparently is only 6 people live in this town that seem to be involved with all these committees, and things don't get completed. We're still waiting for the fire service advisory committee's report. This is months that's been going on. P&Z, FOI, you continue with the expenses. You told me that you weren't going to authorize the payment of an attorney for representing that case. And that's proven to be a falsehood. And it's not over, because we still have another hearing in Hartford. So if you're going to pay the attorney again, you're probably looking at him sitting there for another 4 hours or 5 hours plus his travel time. So that's probably close to a jacket or a set of pants, turn out your pants. At least some gloves. The building committee also, on the website, lists Kirsten Forster as its chair. Is she still the chair of the building committee? The website. You tell us that UConn students are coming in for all these other projects in town. I'll get them to come in for the website. I think they do IT at UConn. I've been pushing to get Turtlebot students, because I'm sure you have talented students up there who can aid in the website. But the Taj Mahal on the top of the hill just seems to be a one-way valve for money. We suck it up, but we don't want to put anything back into the town, because nobody wants to volunteer from the school to get involved with a project like that. We still have inconsistent uploads on the website. Files are being put up as PDFs, as Word documents. It should be consistent. The minutes I took off the website were in the Word document. I shouldn't be able to have it in a Word document and change it to my liking and then put it out in the town. Still no recordings on the website. We still don't see the archive files on the website. The committee that you just said you became a member of, the Northeast Investment Reinvestment, it's a long name, they did have a place on the town's website because they're supposed to supply their minutes and agendas to the town for their meetings, because it's a multi-town organization. And those should be getting put up there so that you can know what's going on and what they're doing in their meetings. We've talked about Joomla numerous times. The search, if you search out there for Joomla support engineers, there's numerous companies that support Joomla. And they don't have to be in town, they don't have to be in this area. It's done online. The fire hydrants, back to the fire department, sorry, change channel. That's deplorable that the fire hydrants are in such condition. You're on notice. God help the town of Thompson if something happens and you notice and you're not pushing. Connecticut Water Service is a stock corporation. They're making profits. And to say, as their money comes, they need to be pushed. We're paying for that. They need to be pushed into upgrades. And there, I believe there was a map of the piping when they came to a meeting at the town hall. When they were doing the other upgrades in the lots, that they showed the line sizes. The sewer, change of channel. The sewer project on Thompson Hill, is that still stuck in the hole? We haven't gone anywhere with it? I have a belief that it's God telling the town of Thompson, maybe you should put the sewer line down the street like it should have been in the first place, where most towns would have done that, and not worried about certain individual homeowners not wanting to pay frontage fees, because the sewer line would have gone in front of their houses, and they would have had to hook up to it. So you put it through the woods and tried to go down. Please, again, leadership, tough decisions. Everybody's not going to be happy. Not every town loves me.
You don't say.
Thank you.
You do bring a smile, Paul. If you would be so kind.
Yes.
It's true.
Thank you. Well,
right behind the desk, I need you.
Anybody else?
Okay.
Al.
I'd just like to talk a little bit about the fire department. I was on a plane in Arizona. We were told that a new water tower was going to cure all the pressure problems. So a fireman came and said, that's not the problem. It's how corroded the pipes are. You can't force water through stuff that's so small. We were sure that that was going to be fixed when they came to get their permit to build that. But I want to back up a little bit. On the school, we spent $37 million for a school. We're told we're going to get punitive more students. We've lost a third of them. We didn't gain a student. We've lost a third. We're down to 1,000. Should have spent $7 million, fix what we have. We still have a roof that's in bad shape up there. We're not fixing, I believe, on middle school. We'd have $30 million of paying for nothing, except that we have to spend more money upkeeping it. If we weren't spending that $30 million to pay for every year, people would probably say, yes, throw money at the fire departments. We need fire departments. You know, and here's, I'm going to agree with Paul, it was poor leadership. Some of us got up and talked against that school and said, these figures are not right. They showed a build-out, building in swamps and on slopes. It's like, you can't build it. We're not going to have this many students. But nope, they wanted that new jewel up there. Well, we can't even protect that. That's pretty damn sad. So, I'll drop you $100. Rafe, you know, whenever you are here, you are.
Thank you.
That's all I can afford.
That's fine.
How about some of the selectmen? Are we here, $100?
Anybody else?
And Ken, here's your boot drive.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. Public service, access to public records.
This is on our agenda last time,
yep.
And I didn't make copies of the proposal, I guess is what it was, that we had last time, a proposal for a policy regarding records access.
Changes
to the existing policy.
Okay.
Yeah, based on the FOIA FOIA meeting that was had. And
I just sat down and I drafted up, and it's very rough, but just I made some notes, and I've made some copies here for the audience there. I would like a copy. It's very, they're very rough. I apologize for that, and again, I didn't make copies of the initial changes, I guess, is what we have from last time. But I just thought I'd make some, as I said, I made some comments about my thoughts about what we might want to modify the proposal. So just let me start off, and obviously, please interrupt.
No problem.
The first paragraph on the initial proposals is what's called the purpose. And as written, it says, to establish a protocol under which public documents will be made available in a timely manner while keeping a clear record of requests made. My thought was that I'm concerned about the need to keep track of when people ask for records. I don't know if we really need to keep a log or track of, if I ask for a record, a public record, does the town need to keep track of what I ask for? It's like the library disclosing what books I check for. That's sort of private information. I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think there's any need for the town to keep track of what records any member of the public asks for. I think that's private business, and I don't think there's any particular purpose served by that. So my suggestion, and again, this is just a discussion here, mm-hmm. is that the purpose as written, which implies that we need to keep a record of what everybody asks for, is that there's no purpose served by keeping track of what the public asks for. If they have a right to ask for the records, there's no need for us to keep track of what members of the public ask for. That's their business. That's private business. We don't need to keep track of what people ask for. So if someone comes in and asks for information about in the building department or a town record or something in the assessor's office or any public record, that's their business, and there's no need for us to keep track of that. So that was my suggestion, is to reword that to say the purpose should be to establish a protocol or policy under which public documents will be made available to the public, period. And that's all we need to say. Your thoughts?
So my initial ones were just that I think it's when we dive into the 4 days, the requester has 4 days in order to receive the documents in a timely manner. Otherwise, it's going to be deemed that it's not being given to them or something like that, to that nature. And I think that what the record would do, and I can only speak to this from previous career, when I needed to submit FOIs to certain town halls or board of educations, and they were not adhering to their deadline, and then there was a track record and there was a documentation as to when I filed it with that town or board of ed, and then they were mandated to respond within a certain date. So because the town hall and the board of education had that document that I submitted, we were able to keep track of whether or not they were meeting my needs as a resident and or at that time a reporter.
I think the individual who might be whose deadline wasn't met would have that record, but I don't think the town needs to keep track of all of the public's, let's say me or you or any of us who ask for a record. We don't need to have that on file. I don't think there's any legitimate reason for the town to keep track of what we ask for.
Well, I might have a document that I submit to you on file, like, oh, and I'm keeping a copy for myself. This is the, you know, this is a request that I made. But that request that I keep, my copy isn't time-stamped. It doesn't have anything that notifies me when that office actually said it. So now it's my word against their word. And where's the protection there's no helpfulness in just submitting something just to have them throw it away. That was the reason for adding that in the beginning. And I can tell you that I wrote this a few years ago with that in mind as well, that it's for the protection of the requester, not to play big brother, big sister and say, oh, Paul Bear wanted to know so-and-so's hourly schedule.
I hear what you're saying, but I think this is exactly big brother, seeing what Paul Bear asked for. Or Sheena asked for, or Steve asked for, right? And I think that's inappropriate. So I understand the ability to defend the town because we did in fact respond in a timely way. But I think that's not as important as not tracking what we citizens have asked for. I don't think there's a legitimate reason for us to keep track of that. That'd be my concern.
I just feel like it's a filing system, just like we have filing systems within the town clerk's office for different reasons.
Thing for discussion. That was my concern.
Yeah, no, it's a good concern because it works both ways. You know, people can ask for the records. It doesn't have to be in writing. They can walk in, ask for a record, and, you know.
That's right. Unless you can't, that's hard to record, too, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And, you know, there's no requirement that they have to put it in writing. They can just come in and request the record, and, you know, if it's not unreasonable for what they're requesting, you know, you provide it. If it's going to take some time, then, you know, you do it in a reasonable time frame to do so. That's appropriate with whatever they may be requesting.
Right.
I can see where, you know, keeping a clear record of a request under certain circumstances may be appropriate. Especially if you've got a delay in producing something, then there's allegations you didn't do X, Y, and Z in a timely fashion. I don't know how to balance that appropriately. And that's how I would look at that. This whole thing may not even belong here. It may belong somewhere else in the policy appropriately. So I can see your point, I can see her point, and hopefully there's some, you know, you don't need to know everything all the time, you know, keeping a clear record. Because some things are very mundane and routine that somebody may be asking for. Can I get a, see a copy of a building permit or something? I mean, it's routine stuff. I can see a request of a record being made when there may be time frames or some research or whatever that may be involved in.
Yeah, I sort of view it as, and I kind of think about it as if, would you want somebody to see all the books you took out of the library? Yeah, it doesn't sound too honest, but you know, in some ways, it really is. It's really an invasion. And although maybe this might not be as personal as that, but it might be. So I think that's why I would say, hey, I don't really need Big Brother. I don't really need Town Hall keeping track of what I've asked for. That's my business, not somebody else's. That's what's my thing.
Something to think about. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, this.
Sure. I think there's a Shane. I hear your point too. Okay. The second item was a policy statement, which was the second paragraph of the proposal. And as it's written, it says, in accordance with statutory responsibility, the town of Thompson is committed to ensuring public access to town public records within a reasonable time and at a reasonable cost. This is to some degree, my thoughts were, this is a restatement of the town's legal duties. This is the statutory responsibility. The word reasonable is generally understood. You usually don't actually have to say that when you're writing a policy. So reasonable is generally understood to be incorporated in our legal responsibilities, and in any case, it's sometimes reasonable in the eye of the beholder. In fact, costs for providing records are defined by the state statutes, not by the town, or even what someone defines as being reasonable. So statute tells us what the costs are. Whether you think they're reasonable or not is kind of a separate issue. But the statute says it's $0.25 a page, $0.50 a page, or $20 to use a scanner, things like that. So it's already actually defined. So I think in some ways when we say here reasonable cost, again, that's sort of I think it's a little bit unnecessary because the statute says what the cost will be for providing the documents. So I'm being a little bit picky here, but it's really already defined in the statute what cost will be. Let's not muck it up with words that are going to maybe muck it up. That was my thought. So I thought a different proposal for the policy. The town of Thompson is committed to ensuring public access in accordance with applicable statutes and in a prompt and efficient manner.
I'm good with
that. Yes.
Okay. Like you said, it's just being redundant based on that.
Yeah, again, I just was a little concerned.
No, it cleans it up.
That was my thought, cleaning it up.
That's fine.
Okay. The third paragraph in the Access to Public Records policy was, it was titled Definition of Public Record. This paragraph, and I'm not going to read it, it's kind of a long paragraph, but basically, the paragraph is titled Definition of Public Record. It actually attempts to make two definitions. One's a definition of records that are public, and the second tries to define custodian. So let's change the paragraph title to definitions instead of definition of public record, because it really is defining two different things.
Yep, yeah, I agree.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, paragraph A in this paragraph is trying to define a public record. And it starts off by saying, generally speaking, and sort of goes on to talk about public records. And that's kind of a tough way to, if you're trying to define something, starting off by saying, generally speaking, here's what it means, is kind of, we're going down a rabbit hole here, I think. It's very difficult to, if you're trying to define something, let's define it, not generally speaking, define it. So I would suggest use what the statute calls public records. Actually, they call it public records or files. And then just what I suggested is just using the word from the statute, which is public records or files means any recorded data or information relating to the conduct of the public's business prepared, owned, used, received, or retained by a public agency, or to which a public agency is entitled to receive a copy by law or contract under section 1-218, whether such data or information be handwritten, typed, tape recorded, printed, closed, that, photographed, or recorded by any other method. So that was my suggestion. Instead of what we have there, which is sort of starts up generally speaking, a long list of things, let's just go to the statute and use that definition of what public record means. And then just to move ahead, the second part of this paragraph talks about the custodian, and as written, custodian. It says custodian means the official custodian, and it goes on. It's hard to use the word custodian as a definition of what a custodian is. You can't use the same word to define the word. So I'm going to suggest that we use simplify that and simply say a custodian is the person who has the physical control of the records. For the audience, the custodian means, as written, custodian, what it says now is the custodian means and includes the official custodian or any authorized person having personal custody. So you're saying the custodian is the person who has the custody, the custodian is the custodian. You can't use the word to define itself. It doesn't help. So
the reason why the second portion of the custodial definition was included is because there are several other members within departments, so we wanted to make sure that the supervisor or director provision was included in that second portion.
Meaning that somebody who has to be the supervisor, I'm not sure if that is necessary, but
that was the will of the previous administration to make sure that the documents were being handled properly, accordingly, and in a timely manner. And so that way one person from one department couldn't go into the other department if that person wasn't there and start taking out documents and making copies and...
Well, again, we're just trying to define the custodian is. I think custodian is probably best defined, again, my suggestion.
Not everybody is having physical control of records.
Not everybody is, no.
Correct.
But to define what custodian is, I think custodian is the person who has physical control of records. I think that's a... My suggestion is that's a good definition of what custodian is. For the purpose of this document.
Again, we wanted to keep it within his or her department so that way we don't have the possibility of documents floating from department to department and possibly getting lost.
I'm not sure that...
But the interpretation, I know what the intent was with that you did back then.
Well, we're just trying to make a definition.
Yeah. So if you make the definition,
we can talk later about responsibilities. That would maybe be a separate point.
Right. I mean, if you've got somebody that's in the tax office, they're not going to go. They should not be going into the building office to get a record.
They're not the custodian.
They're not the custodian of the building office.
Correct. Right. So that's a responsibility of the custodian. We're just trying to find what the custodian is. So that's all I'm trying to do here. And then the only other thing I wanted to suggest in this paragraph is that we define exempt records as another definition. And there's several paragraphs in the statute about what exempt records are. I didn't retype all that, to be honest with you. So I suggest that we add that as a part of the policy. Because there's a long list of things that are exempt. You know, medical records and prisoner records and
well, this personnel records.
Exactly. So again, I didn't write it all out, but there's a long list of things that there's, and I thought that would be a appropriate part of what if you're putting that definition, that would be an appropriate place to put. And then there's a next paragraph that's called applicability. As written, it says this policy applies to all departments within the town of Thompson. That seems appropriate to me. General provision, sort of have a back and forth here. it's written now, it's without going through all of it, it says all books, maps, photographs, the public has a right to inspect and has a right to obtain copies of these records. And it seems, and obviously except for exempt records, and it seems, again, that does seem appropriate. It's, you might just refer to the state statutes regarding these rights, since those are going to be the things that prevail as opposed to what we're trying to rewrite. Paragraph D in the same section.
I believe that, so just going back, it does say, oh, I'm sorry, so you want it, you don't want the Freedom of Information Act referenced under the right to inspect public records, you would like the state statute to be cited?
Well, I just thought that we sort of list all these, you know, exemptions and so forth. I just thought that we might just refer to the state statutes about what is available than to try to spell out what. I think, you know, we were trying to say.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, under the general provisions, the right to inspect public records?
Yeah.
Not with the exemptions portion. You said it seems appropriate, though it may be better if it referred to the state statutes regarding these rights.
Yeah. There's the state statute has it spelled out a little more technically than this does. This tends to sort of spell out, focus more on what's exempt, this paragraph. Most of the paragraph.
Are you referring to paragraph A?
Yeah.
Section 5A?
A, yeah.
When you,
those are the ones that you can.
Well, it's our public records, not exempt. It goes on to the second page here, mostly.
With the exception of exempt records.
Yeah, it goes on and on. And that's, I kind of moved that into the definition of exempt documents, I guess, is what I did. In my book.
When Shana, when this was adopted, was the intent of this to benefit, to help the employee that may be the custodian of the records as a quick search tool by having some of these things spelled out?
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm asking. Or was this a just strictly for the public that, here you go, this is the only stuff that we'll give you? Because I mean, if you want to be, because I'm almost looking at this, if I was one of the staff in the building, that if I look at the policy, the access to the records policy as adopted, it's almost like a guide for the employee that, well, you can't touch it, but you can't touch this, this is exempt, or, you know, that type of stuff. And I'm wondering if that may have been the intent back then.
Could be, you know, could be tied to the,
yeah.
I think it was.
Although it really is attached to the firm of this form, which is sort of like, here are lots of records, here's this policy in the form. It's, I don't know.
So the intent was to protect the requester and the residents from possible wrongful accusations of public records being missing, as well as the protection of the requester to receive their request timely, and to also hold the departments accountable for what's within the policy when it came to providing information to the residents, or anyone who comes in, not just residents, lawyers, real estate agents, whoever. And that's, yeah, so that was the original intent. And to have something in here that says that the town of Thompson is completely agrees with state statute and FOI, which I hear you use is totally redundant, but never hurts to just in there. So yeah, so that was the original intent. It was more so for the protection of anyone who is making a request. But it was too cold. It also serves for the department.
Okay.
I mean, it's almost like how it reads. It's almost like a guide for the employee as well.
Parts of it that seem to be interrupted that way.
I mean, because other than that, you can just turn around and say, there's the statute, copy it, and there's the policy, and, you know,
could be,
you know, and you would be perfectly within the whoever's coming in looking for the record would have to go and say, I want this, and, nope, you ain't getting it, then it's up to you to say that it could be, you know, so, exactly.
Should go on, or we
can keep going.
Okay, well, okay, so the second, the paragraph B of this section talks about electronic mail, which is really talking about email. I think email is already included in what public records are. I don't really know. I think maybe it was written when email was new and novel and needed a separate paragraph. I don't really know. It's clearly part of a public record. There's nothing really wrong with this paragraph, but I don't really know if it's necessary. As Rick just sort of suggested, employees use a subject line, which I try to do, but I probably neglectful myself. But I would probably not include this particular paragraph. I don't think it adds too much to the document. Paragraph C, document creation and format. As Rick says, upon request, a town hall employee is not under duty to create a new public record. Data and or records need to be provided only in the format in which they currently exist. Data will not be manipulated and provided in formats within the existing policy concerning documents. This paragraph discusses the requirement, or rather lack of the requirement, for the town to create any new records in or data or formats. In other words, we don't have to create data or information for anybody. If the data exists or if the record exists, you can provide it, but you don't have to create information for someone.
You don't have to create different types of reports either. It's either available.
It is or isn't. Exactly. The last sentence of this, data will not be manipulated and provided in formats within the existing policy concerning documents. I couldn't understand that, to be honest with you, so I probably wouldn't have included that sentence. I don't know what that means. I just didn't understand that. So I just suggest that upon a request, public record custodians, because that's who we're talking about here, are not under a duty to create any new public record. Public records need to be provided only in the format in which they currently exist. Just try to clean that up a little bit.
I took out the last sentence.
At least I couldn't understand it, but.
No, I don't know the gist of it either, because it's provided in formats found within the existing policy concerning the documents. You wouldn't be manipulating documents anyway.
So okay, then.
So you would hope. Well, that's why it was in there, because you would hope. But unfortunately, we live in a time where we may need to add: data will not be manipulated. Period. Data shall not be manipulated by the custodian. Again, we hope that that is the case, but.
Well,
this holds them accountable. It says we have a policy in place. You didn't follow that. Should we ever need it?
You know, the discussion that we're having here is, you know, we're bouncing things, raising issues, and, you know, from tonight, let's go back, reread it, and,
you know. And this is just my thoughts on.
No, that's fine.
Okay, advance request. Let me go through it. I thought it was okay. It says, you can't put in a request for documents that don't exist yet, and that seems reasonable. The paragraph E requires that, with the exception of certain documents provided in the normal course of business, request must be made in writing. It further suggests but does not require that the applicant use the official public request form. This section further provides information about submitting a request to the town clerk and specifies that the town clerk shall maintain a log of all record requests received. It further specifies that any questions concerning requests to view or copy public records may be directed to first selectman or human resources / personnel record. This hits a couple of things that we've talked about before. First of all, instead of the town clerk, it's really the custodian that we want to address record requests to. So if it's something about a building permit, the town clerk doesn't need to be involved. The second thing is, this talks about the log of all the requests. I don't think we want to keep a log of all the requests. No offense, but I don't think that the first selectman or human resources / personnel director
is involved is the custodian of the records that should be involved with answering the request for information. So, unless you happen to be custodian of those particular records. But again, a building permit, just to pick on a building permit for a second, you're probably not going to be involved in that request. So,
anything, the involvement will come if the request not made in any timely fashion.
First, I recommend we only require written requests if necessary. So if it's hard, if you have somebody wants to view a document that's readily available, why do they have to write a request in the document? Second, why does it have to go to the town clerk? It should go to the custodian of the records. Third, why does the town clerk have to keep a log of the information request? What purpose does that serve other than making work? Fourth, why is the human resource slash personal director involved, or if you have another person like that? These requests are members from the requester and the custodian. I suggest that particular paragraph needs to be human.
So the town clerk was placed in there based off of the conversations that the administration had, previous administration, I should say, feeling that would just be the most secure and central place for all written requests to go. Just given that, again, in the past there had been some unfortunate, you know, documents and other things missing, we thought that if it had to go to the town clerk, get time stamped, and get filed, it would always be in the same spot every time. I understand it would probably make a little bit more work. And that could certainly be a conversation that we could have with the town clerk to see, you know, what's manageable if we decided to go that route.
Okay, I think it's the custodian who's the custodian of the records is where the request goes, not to someone who's not a custodian. That would be my thought. Skipping down to section 3, which is the time for the inspection of the records. The policy as
which paragraph are you on?
Section 3, which is...
Section 3, these are out of order on the copy that you provided us, Ken, so you're going to be looking at...
No, I'm trying to balance between the two.
Yeah.
Time
for
inspection.
Time for inspection of records?
Over here.
Yeah, over here, and then flip that one.
I didn't go far.
The flip flops.
There.
This section imposes a 3-day limit for initial response, not to necessarily provide the information, although that might happen. It's just a response saying either get the information provided or the records provided, or copy of the records provided, or we will get to you at some time, kind of thing. That's the response that's provided within the time. The law says 4 days. I don't know, and I think we should provide as soon as we can. It might be 1 day or 2 days, or maybe immediately. I don't know why we want to impose upon ourselves a 3-day limit. Admirable to do. We should do it as quickly as we can. And again, even faster than 3 days or 4 days, if at all possible. But why, as a town, do we want to impose by the policy a requirement greater than the law requires and putting ourselves sort of behind the equal, potentially, if we can't meet the 4-day requirement? That is my only thought. Why don't we stick with the 4-day requirement? Try to do better, but...
Well, it says we'll strive.
But it imposes a 3-day limit.
Yeah.
When the requirement's only a 4-day limit.
Right.
And my thought would be let's try to do it as fast as we can.
It creates some confusion. It creates confusion. Somebody sees 3 days, I should have had it in 3 days, you're in violation, blah, 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 blah.
So take out that
argument. The law is 4 days,
right.
So...
Then you get an argument going.
So my thought was,
don't
just hit them in 4 days, be consistent with that. Try to do it as fast as promptly as possible, but why impose upon the custodians a 3-day limit when the law is 4? Let's have them do it as promptly as possible, but let's not set yet another arbitrary, confusing thing.
So strike out that first sentence under that one.
Yeah, don't yep. Put more undue pressure than it needs to be.
That would be the worst. I was running out of steam at this stage of the day.
Really?
Is this a battery?
Okay, paragraph F talks about fees.
And it does say that there are a lot of documents that are available free. That's good. The next paragraph, which was not, didn't have a title, talks about, is a long section that talks about what the fees are. I think it's just a copy of the FOIA Act on the fees, which is fine if you want to include all that. The paragraph G, inspection of records, it seems to ask, maybe even require, requesters to sign in. And again, this bothers me. I don't like to have government make me sign in to do things. It implies that town personnel can get the records more efficiently and accurately if the requester signs in. I have no idea why signing in is going to get somebody to get the records more efficiently and accurately. And again, this paragraph talked about...
Well, it says that the individual will be asked, but then later on it says, although sign-in is not required by statute, it assists the town to gather the records in question more efficiently and accurately.
I would like to know how it makes it more efficiently and accurately.
I don't know how it would make it more efficient.
You're looking forward to that?
I would like to know how it makes it more accurately.
Yeah, that I don't understand.
This was Marie's... recommendations under after speaking with FOI or after FOI? All those signings that are required. Okay.
I'm sorry, so you do think it makes it more accurate?
No, she was just I don't think it makes.
No, I mean unless the only thing that I can think of is that if it's a log for that person to say, oh yeah, I needed to get that for someone, and they didn't verbally request.
But that could be just a log that they're doing to track what they need to do for daily work.
The log itself was again to protect anyone who entered the department with the time that they entered and whatnot, just so that way again, if there was any question of damage to property or alterations, it would be an easier process to say, you know, oh, the town attorney accidentally took this out and it needs to be returned. Like, it's not there now, and who was there last? So, you know, attorney's being honest. I'm just using that as an example. Didn't happen. But I think that was the ultimate reason, was to protect anyone who entered from that. Not, again, but I completely do understand how it does and also seems like more Big Brother micromanaging, but it was done more so for the protection of the residents or anyone who was or had access to public documents.
Well, again, my feeling would be that the assignment is inappropriate. And again, before we blame, I think it makes things more efficient and accurate, but I'd be happy to learn how it might. There's a paragraph about what happens when there's a denial of inspection record of inspection records, and that seems appropriate as it's written. There's also a final paragraph about retention and archiving. It talks about email purging. I think that's a bit out of date. I think it talks about emails disappear after 60 days or something. I don't think that happens anymore. So be happy to find out what, if that doesn't happen, if that happens. So I don't think that paragraph's a problem.
So yeah, I'm not sure.
I'd be happy to learn.
The email thing is a living, breathing animal.
That's out of date, so that needs to be changed. I don't know what the appropriate wording would be, but that's what it is written. So, apologize everybody for all the time taken, but
while we can't request in writing the form, because that is volunteering, you know,
it could be any form.
Yeah, no, any form. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I can see the advantages of this form for the request of records, especially if somebody's asking for a variety of things and you actually get it spelled out and, you know, so forth. But it's not required for them to fill out. They can say, I need X, Y, and Z, please provide it in a timely fashion. But it may, you know, I can see whether you can offer them the piece of paper or say, okay, we have a form if you want to kindly, you know, fill out what you need. We'll know how to get it to you in a couple of days or whatever the case is, because the custodian may not be there. because it may go to a different office, that I don't have a problem with the form itself. It's available.
Yeah, it's an available form. It's correct. But as a requirement,
yep.
It's in the code.
You wish to entertain anything?
No, that was just my comments. I don't know.
No, I said we have a couple
of questions.
I don't have any objections to it.
I think it would be like
Just regarding your last retention archiving,
yep.
You may want to reference the state library record.
It's in there.
Okay. So I'll look at...
They're the ones that schedule the release. You have to request it right, and it's clearly...
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
The one that's the main issue is the electronic records that...
That's in there also.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the one that's evolving as we speak constantly.
Yeah, that's what the target has written is either over.
Yeah.
And number two policy statement. I think in your proposal, something about the fees should be mentioned in accordance with applicable statutes, because some things you do have to charge fees for. And I think you're doing a disservice if that's not right out there in front of people knowing that for some things they are going to have to pay. And mostly it's like water or dollars, not much. That's just a suggestion because, you know, not everything is free. And the other thing is the state gives you 4 days to...
respond.
Right. 4 days or 4 working days. That's a big difference. We'll look into that and find out. It's a long weekend. Someone comes in on Friday, then you're off Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I think they...
Good question.
It says freedom of information for business days.
Okay, so that should be in there also.
It's currently in there.
Okay, well, I didn't see it on
the... Yeah, and I was just...
No, but I think that's important. So that's... clear the people's
head.
So they don't come back and
depending on the statute, there is certain things that are 4 days and there's things that are 4 business days.
Well, I think
it gets confusing.
Very clear on
that. That's real.
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead. In section 2, Mr. Herbert deleted, I think, should stay in to town public records. You don't have access to everything, just to the town public records.
I'm sorry, I'm talking about on the first page.
Section 2.
Yep.
It's committed to ensuring public access to town public records. The state should stay in.
Are you looking at section, are you the policy
statement? Section 2, policy statement.
Under the proposed?
Yeah.
Okay, your suggestion is, say again?
To leave to town public records in there.
To ensure public access, to town public records.
Correct.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I agree. That's good.
Second, on section 3, subsection A, paragraph 6, whatever it is, there is no exception any place in this. The third line.
I'm sorry.
And falls under the exceptions section of this policy.
Point me to where you are, please.
The third line of 3A6.
I'm sorry, you're on the first page. Wait,
you're talking about correspondence of officials?
No,
on the first page under definitions.
The actual policy.
Under
the actual policy itself, as proposed?
No, the policy. That's written. You didn't change it.
I'm sorry.
It says it falls under the quote exceptions unquote section of this policy. There is no section of section.
You're on the second page.
I know that's where
first page of the actual policy.
Which
what document are you talking
he's
about?
He's on this. Okay.
That's it.
You're talking about section 3, definition of a public record, right?
Yeah.
It's not okay. An actual section. He's correct. It just says the following records A6. Are exempt.
A6.
Starts off with correspondence of officials.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Third line says the exceptions section of this policy. There is no exceptions policy section.
It's not a section. It's listed under rights to inspect public records.
No, but it also says here, see below for exempt documents. The following records are exempt. And then
right, but, so because it's not an exemption section.
It comes under 5A, correct?
Right, it falls under the exceptions, exactly. And then you could say, see rights to inspect public records.
There is no exception to the exemptions. Yeah, well, good catch. So this document that really might be better worded as exempt documents as opposed to exceptions. It's not really correct. Wasn't sure what document we were talking about.
Yeah, we've flown between a couple of them.
Okay.
In section 5,
which document are we talking about?
The policy.
Policy itself, okay.
Section 5.
Section 5, subparagraph G, whatever it is, inspection of records. You say inspection of records will take place. How do you recommend shall take place? Will is the promise, shall is an actual fact.
That was under 5?
5G, inspection of records.
Okay.
What is the promise, shall is a requirement? Yeah.
Anything else here?
One last item. Someplace in that inspection of records, G,
yeah.
I would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 line down. I would insert a reference to Connecticut Chapter 9, 32, Section 52-153.
What's it coming after?
Office. The office.
Can you say that again?
Sorry, yeah.
The time he or she exited the office?
Correct.
Okay.
And I would insert a reference to General Statutes 942-53-153. That's removal of alteration legal requirements.
Okay, so I'll say that again.
942 what?
53-153.
You have that memorized, or?
No, I don't know. Actually, it's not in town. It's not in the bulletin board down in town hall.
That may be, but I still don't know.
You rattled it off for me. Sydney?
Okay. I'm ready.
Comments?
My God. One last one.
Thank you, Nathan.
Show that to me. Regarding keeping a list of requests, you're creating another document that's a public access.
Sure.
And you will find attorneys. Mark, I appreciate that. If you have a developer looking at doing a project, they're not going to appreciate documents saying what they're looking at. So you may end up in another legal battle. But
if you look at it that way, right?
You know, I don't have an issue with it. I log in and out when I go into an office in there. Not all the offices were ever given logbooks. So that was inconsistent. But not tracking what you're looking at, because the law states you're able to inspect records during normal business hours. Period. Thank you.
The only thing that I wanted to say on the original one is that on the back it says edited 10/4/16. It doesn't say who edited it. So I was just, I'm just saying. And it wasn't me, so. Yeah, there's a policy that has to know who made changes and who offered it.
Excuse me.
I'll talk to you about it.
I was thinking of that. Going on to number 6, pay phone at the library community center.
Me again?
You asked for to put it on, and We all know what it's about.
Well, I kind of summed it up last time, but I'll sort of repeat what I already said, basically. We spend $70 a month, that's by my method, $34 a year, to provide a pay phone, and that doesn't include what people actually have to put in the slot to actually use it. Less than 70 calls we made from it last year in the community center, which is the building that helps the library as well as the community center. It's accessible only during times when the community center is open, so it's not open Sundays. When the building's closed, which would be roughly at 10 o'clock or early in the morning. Seems like a lot of money for a very limited value. As I mentioned earlier, the library board of trustees voted to discontinue the service, but because the phone is actually in the community center portion of the building, I guess they concluded, or at least the library director concluded, that it wasn't the library trustees' purview to make that decision and she needed the contract. I think that we might provide some guidance here that we do not want this contract renewed in the future, and if possible, we should cancel the contract. No.
I'm not aware of any contract. Unless you call me.
I was told it's a contract, but it's not a contract. If we can discontinue the service right now, we should do something.
Mm-hmm. Can you?
No, I mentioned at the last meeting there could be a contract.
Okay.
I did inquire, and was did not asking finance and so forth. There was
no contract.
That does not appear to be a contract.
Well, thank you very much for checking that. So, I was told it was, but that's not a contract. That's
So I would, based on the information and et cetera, that I would entertain a motion to.
I move we discontinue the service effective.
As
soon as possible.
Comments?
And you second it.
I'll second it. Go ahead. Discussion. I know you were waiting for it.
Here it is.
Yeah, so so my only concern of making the or participating in the motion prior to doing some research into the 70 calls that were made and confirming when the lobby is available, particularly in times of the summer camp and or the additional programs that are happening at the library. And I do understand that, you know, a lot of people do have cell phones nowadays. Obviously, there were 70 circumstances last year when there was no access to that type of service. So my concern more so comes as, I guess, a mother wanting to make sure that our children have a safe way to communicate if they're unable to reach someone or they need to get a hold of someone, more so for the summer programs and or in the evening, which is why I would be hesitant to make a motion. And I believe that it was, the breakdown is how many dollars per month that equates to?
$70 a month.
$70, which I...
$12 per call.
I'm sorry,
at least $12 per call. And I'm sure somebody's in an emergency. When the library's open, somebody could use the library phone. I can't imagine a library turning somebody down. But maybe the library would. I can't imagine that.
Right. And we had to have they have different hours. So sometimes you can get into the lobby, but not necessarily into the community, not into the library.
There's a couple of hours when the library is closed and the community center is open. That's true.
And then just, you know, if we're going to look at phones, we should also then possibly discuss not just pay phones, but how much the town is paying for all phones, so cell phone usage and tablets and other things that aren't being utilized that we're currently paying for, to see where we could save costs. I feel uncomfortable. I am all for saving the town some funds. I just don't know if this is one that I would be comfortable in doing because it's a public safety issue in my eyes. That's all.
I'm not sure I understand the public safety concern. I think if there was truly an emergency, someone would be gone. If someone was an accident or a fire or a medical emergency, I can't help but think that some citizen in our town, someone in that building, wouldn't be kind enough to provide phone service to somebody that you need. I just can't imagine that.
I'm sure that they would, but if someone's not in the library and it's off hours like I was describing, and
if the building's closed, you can't use the phone anymore.
If the library is closed, the community center and lobby is still open.
Exactly. But that means there's somebody there.
That person could be in the library doing custodial work, though. They might not necessarily be in the community. I'm just saying. I'm sure they still would lend it, but I'm sure everyone hopes that there's always going to be someone to dial 911 or to get a hold of somebody, but obviously that's not always the case.
So it's a matter of there's always some small possible risk, but this serves a very small segment of our town. Someone in Quinbaugh doesn't have access to that. Someone in Mechanicsville doesn't have access to this public. That seems for them to pay for. That doesn't seem fair. Wouldn't this money be better spent on other priorities in this town? That's my thought. Some of the priorities we talked about this evening. That would be my thought. And that's why I would vote to discontinue the service. And yes, there are tablets and there are other things we could think about and delay to making this decision. But let's make those decisions when we can. Let's not delay making this decision now.
It was not meant to delay this decision. It was meant as an addendum because budget season's coming. We should just be looking at all.
Yes.
Not delaying it. I'm voting no.
My thoughts on this would be if we did want to provide phone service there, that I'm sure somewhere along the way that we could purchase a payphone and put it in ourselves at a greatly reduced rate. I'm sure that
it's hard to find more expensive way to
it. No, I mean, at that point, I mean, we already got the phone line there, et cetera. That's not a major issue. I'm sure that we should be able to find a payphone and at least reap the cost recovery of having it there in that fashion. And, you know, I would definitely try and search out and possibly fill that with a very least expensive alternative.
We could buy a cell phone for $40 a month, but they're less than that. Provide free service.
It won't stay there, trust me.
Lock it to the wall. We could do it for $40. I think you could do it for $40, $30 a month or something. Provide unlimited phone throughout the United States for less than $70 a month. We can't find a more expensive way to do it than we're doing it now.
No, I agree with that, Steve. I'm not disagreeing with you. I said it would be nice if we could find an alternative. All right, bring it to a vote. Steve?
The vote is to discontinue service, I'm voting yes.
Shana?
No.
I'm going to vote yes. Was that, Steve? You agree?
No, we're talking about the price of that. You said gloves. I said cheap ones.
All right. Ordinance review. The current inland wetlands and the conservation, to the best of my knowledge, have been reviewed by town attorney. These are two that were presented before. The ordinance committee does not feel any additional work needs to be done to this by any means because they have done it. Actually, it was probably a year ago at this time when we went to town. We did have the constables and the emergency. The other one was the town constables. Somehow it got manipulated and got into emergency management, and the emergency management director, all he wanted in the beginning was to be able to direct the constables in case of an emergency and activate them, being the emergency management. You do have this, right, Steve?
Well, I think I've got...
I've got probably...
What I was provided was something that is almost illegible, almost unreadable. So I think there's either been a subsequent copy that's been cleaned up or something, because the one I've got is pretty visible.
So
help me out. Can I just take a peek at yours and see if...
Which one are you looking at?
Which one do you want to talk about?
The one I was talking about was the constables. And currently...
That one I don't think I have.
That one you don't have. And I know you got it before, but...
Okay. Yep.
This used to be six.
Yep.
We are in control of the number. Before was a maximum of six.
Okay, right.
Nobody says we have to go to 12, but it allows us to go to 12. To me, that's a reasonable change.
Sure.
The only thing that I am of a concern is, what do we want to do for the length of the terms? Currently, a lot of the terms will expire after 2 years when we have an administration change. Okay? I don't know what your feeling is. I think it's probably more appropriate to whichever administration is coming in at the time, that these are some of the things that they have control over, where you could be saddled with this type of appointment that may not be appropriate.
Okay.
So.
So you think 2 year terms?
I'm a believer of the 2 year term, unless, you know, something changes with the length of the administrative officers, you know, and that's not proposed at this point. So I would like, you know, Shana and you to think about whether the two or six on the length of term would be appropriate or not.
Okay.
Think about that.
Sure.
And with that, and of course, you know, residing in the town of Thompson, I think, is very critical, because, you know, that would be added as well. It said electors.
What doesn't electors include that or not?
And this hasn't been sent to the town attorney yet, so I'm not, and it may in fact do that.
I think electors.
In order to elect, you've got to be having voting rights in town.
Okay, so I think you may already, but if the our attorney says that that's some meaningful difference there,
we can look at it. If not, okay. I think that one is fairly straightforward. I do ask the board if they would take a look at your thoughts on the length of the term.
All right, fair enough.
Okay. Shana, thoughts?
No.
Okay. This is the one I think you had an issue trying to read.
Yes.
You have a different copy.
I got a different copy of this.
Yes. And again, if you look at your emails on the town website, I know that Donna did send this to both you, Shana, and myself.
Okay.
So maybe you didn't have a chance to download it.
No, I got it.
No, I'm saying
last time, I guess.
Yes, so you probably didn't download it. So look at the cleanup.
Sure.
Take a look at the cleanup copy, because you're out of disadvantage at this point.
Sure.
And take a look at it. Most of the changes are renaming emergency management from civil preparedness.
Okay.
Going through there, you may find, you know, a break in, you know, that one versus this one, some punctuation and so forth. And the mission statement is there.
Okay, I did notice, just from as I did read this, there's a lot of wording, just as a general suggestion, he.
Yep.
As opposed
we
to.
We talked about that last time.
Oh, you already talked about that? Okay.
No, remember, because we said we had that problem with. This was the same one, and I feel like we took a lot of notes at that last, because this was not a very good version.
Yeah, I think we want to say the director, I think that's what it's typically referring to, or things like that. It's more appropriate wording than to say he shall, or whatever they're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the director or the commissioner or whatever they're talking about here, as opposed to he, which is totally inappropriate. So
well, you could we could probably put down an abbreviate. And just put the EMD, which is Emergency Management Director.
Yeah, or whatever that happens. Sure, but again, as
we take the word he out,
the he's in here are inappropriate. So that was one thing I did notice that was inappropriate. Again, it was.
Just so we could have EMD.
I will download a fresh copy and see.
It's not EMD though, because it's the director of the Emergency Management Homeland Security Agency.
Well, yeah.
You could just say, you could print in parentheses,
well, you
just
could,
say shall be known as the director.
One of the legal terminologies was, whoever the name of the person is, here and after EMD or,
whatever.
You know, whatever, and you just, and it reflects it through the document because it reflects that change.
The other thing that, which I was able to, understand, the director of the Emergency Management Homeland Security agency or whatever it is, shall be compensated based on the town meeting. I don't have the thing coming back to mind. Is that appropriate for town meeting? Mine said town meeting. Is that right?
As maybe determined by a town meeting.
Do we want that, or is it really, or do you even need that sentence in there? Isn't that really, as budgeted or something? I would probably just delete that whole sentence.
It may have come out of the statute.
Okay.
So I'll talk to Stephen on
that sentence. I didn't think that was needed to be in there, quite frankly, because I don't think that's the way it is.
You worked with this stuff, Al. Don't remember.
I mean, ultimately, right. You would think if they receive compensation, it would be.
But that would be budgeted.
Yeah, it would be budgeted. It has to be approved by a referendum.
I don't think it would be a town meeting that sets the compensation for that.
I don't think so.
That, again, assuming my copy is current, which I'm not sure it is. So that I think was another thing that I caught from my.
Does yours have a revised date on it?
I don't have a.
No, he didn't download it. You're talking here?
Yeah.
That's the one that came.
That's what I got from.
Do you have this in bold down
No, he doesn't have it yet.
Oh. This is the one.
I got it from the last meeting.
He didn't download it off the website, off the email.
What I got from the last meeting.
But if you were to download it, it would look like this, so it would have all of these.
It should, yes.
But this is still difficult to read. Sorry.
But if you're looking at it on the computer, you're going to see it's highly gray and so forth.
I did notice that every other word is capitalized for some reason. I didn't understand that.
When I used to
download it,
we have it with apps. It wasn't accurate, but that was easy for me to read.
Oh, okay.
What else do you want to talk about?
That's it.
And again, that's probably because I have I suspect an outdated interim 11.
Yeah.
Does it still talk about that we need to comply, and I think the conservation maybe also, comply with the Woodstock Board of Commission? Is yours corrected for that? I think this came up before.
Which section is it in?
Paragraph 3, under powers and duties.
Of Thompson shall be
Thompson.
Established and amended?
Wetland or water course made to.
No, that's correct. That's correct.
Board of Commission.
That's correct.
It's corrected.
Correct.
Okay, great.
That's correct. There's a complicated draft. All right. Please download off the website.
I will. Okay.
Now,
I have a question. When you came to our ordinance meeting, you said you were going to bring up a discussion that we had that day about changing the annual town meeting to the third Tuesday in April as opposed to May, and you were going to discuss this with the selectmen.
Well, it's
and then that could be moved forward so we could.
I didn't get to it. It's a very simple ordinance. It's only a paragraph.
Yeah, one word changes.
It's one word change.
I just want to explain that Rainey came and talked to us. There's only one other town, I believe, in 169 towns that are as late as us to try to get our annual town meeting, that most of them are
2 weeks or 4 weeks or even earlier than that.
Sure.
He made the recommendation to change it, so when we get into these budgets where it keeps scaling, it gives you a little
bit more breathing room.
I did speak with Orla. As you know, we're done with our budget and presented it to the Board of Finance the end of February, at the very early beginning of March. Yeah. It's right in, based on the time frames. The Board of Ed does the same thing. We're comfortable being able to meet the budget, you know, to present.
Sure.
The one that has the biggest say in this would be the Board of Finance, because they have to finalize the budget. And I have, like I said, the Bill Lepowski with the school has no issue. Orla has no issue to the finance directors, well, with Neil, because that was mentioned. You know, that we're well done and ready to go. And I did have a conversation with Aaron, just to let him know that, you know, there was some thought to this, that it's something that they should think about.
Mm-hmm.
And that Orla had thought, you know, maybe the first Monday of the month, around May 1st, that's the way it falls this year, that it would be appropriate. And if we do run into the situation that we did last year, that it buys us a little bit more time, you know. So but it's a very, very simple thing. We can't speak for the Board of Finance, and I really wouldn't want to without their input, because, you know, they do the nitty-gritty with this.
Yeah.
So, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, their input would be definitely valuable, but in the end, it really is the referendum. It's going to be the voters.
It goes to town meeting.
Most appropriate.
But it goes to town meeting.
Right.
Okay. But if the Board of Finance is saying we can't get it done for whatever the reason,
if they have issues,
we should have that. Have them think about this.
All right, that's
true.
Al?
Can I just say something? I grew up American. I was taught by a can. Hmm. You know, and I would not go to the first Monday in May. I'd go to the third Monday in April. Get it done.
And there's nothing stopping us from starting our budget process a little sooner. You know, on the school side and our side either. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we're estimating because the state hasn't finalized their budget, and which goes right up to the time of referendum. It's in force. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a good argument.
It's not going to change it.
No. And we know pretty much, based on history, where a lot of our budget items are.
So is there a draft already that we could use as a foundation to present to the Board of Finance sooner rather than later at one of the sessions?
The annual town meeting is a very quick paragraph.
It'd be basically one
way. Annual town meeting, it's a...
I think we
could
do without a
what? Yeah, this one here. shall be held on the third Monday of each, on the third Monday of May in each year. And we just plug in, you know, and just change that.
April, the third Monday of April.
It could be the third Monday of April or whatever.
April 1st.
That's right. So, I don't think it would take an awful lot of rework on this one. There was some mention of currently our both budgets have to pass in order to for the referendum. Both sides have to pass in order for the budget to pass. And I don't know the answer. It's come up in some discussion from a few people that if one side of the budget passes, that it should be kept in check and they only deal with the side that fails. And I'm not sure how that affects legally, because we're not we don't have a charter, we're under the state statute. So I don't have an answer to that, but that was also a thought that was raised.
It's being researched.
Okay. With that, because, you know, if one budget passes, then it really should be hands off as a public spoke and just, it doesn't go into effect until they both pass, but people were hoping that whatever they did pass would stand on its merits,
mm-hmm.
based on the voters, because, you know, people have in the past passed one out of two. So, okay. Community fire boot drive came up again, thanks to Rocky. Assessor in training. I crossed it off mine. There's, as you know, I did hold the interviews with Orler and Diana. Due to a snafu, the meeting was not scheduled. Unnoticed, you know, it was in order to keep up with the did, I did, Marie did reach out to both of the other selectmen and offered alternatives, and Orler, myself, and Diana did complete the interviews. I did, as I know Steve has spoken with Diana and Orla for the information based on the interviews, and is still gathering your information. And same with Shana, needs to touch bases with both of them as well. And when you're, please contact Marie when you're done with your inquiries, and we can have a special meeting to go from there based on personnel issues at that point, and do what we have done in the past. And as I did say in the in my statements, that the position for maintainer is closing tomorrow. Those packets will be available, and I'm not sure when they're leaving. So
I'm not sure.
Hopefully I can get it to you before, if at all possible, before you do leave. So when you do book your flight, I'm saying when you book your flight, let Marie know. We'll take care of that from there. So there won't be any action on the assessor and training hire at this time. Thanks to Rocky, after he had submitted his request and we did approve it on for the 22nd, he came back and had a change of heart and wants to do it on the 29th.
Wanted it on the 22nd.
Yeah, I did. So it's back up.
And we're pretty good tonight.
Just keep coming to these meetings.
We can make it a motion, or we can do a consensus to allow them to do it on the 29th.
Is that the motion?
Whatever.
I'll make a motion that we accept the change for the community boot drive to Saturday, October 29th, 2016.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Let the Chief Belunky know if you would, please. Thank you. Anybody have other business? No other business? Citizens' comments.
Regarding the voting in the library, discontinuing the phone, it's all fine and dandy, but you guys didn't make a solution. You said you talked about getting a cell phone. Why can't you just put a phone on the wall that only lets you allow you to dial for emergency? If you have my job, you can't dial out, except 911. So if some child is left behind or needs to get a hold of somebody, dial 911. Talk to the state police and fill the whole antenna. It costs nothing to do that. Just run the line over. You don't need to buy a payphone.
Sure, they might
not pay to do that.
They have a payphone. Correct?
Yeah, the direct line to the state police.
It's going to eliminate the people sitting on the phone. It's going to eliminate the people sitting on the phone making phone calls that they don't really need to make. This is for emergency use only. It might be once a year. That's my point. You know what I'm saying?
All right, thank you, Don. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Steve?
This goes back to the Mary Ann Chilati's email saying that she's going to be involved in the AFG grant. Is she willing to do a grant writing workshop? Because, as you know, you've been through this process, you've been through grant writing workshops. It's a horse of a different color as far as grants, and they're very picky, especially with the narrative. And if it wasn't like that, there would be these workshops. I don't know what there is, but they're always in the area. They're all offered, but I'm not really sure time-wise. If we could just do some research on that, I was just wondering if she was available, if she was willing to do that, to go to that. I understand that she's a grant writer, but I don't want to do like 3 years in a row trying, and oh, maybe next year we'll get it, you know?
Why don't you check the CCM, Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, they offer, and we're a member, so you can go to their classes without additional cost. And they provide, I don't know what their schedule is, but they provide those types of courses. And so they might, and they would have instructors who are trained on those kinds of things.
Specifically for this grant?
I don't know what their schedules are, but I believe they offer courses. I don't know their schedule or if they have one even this year or anything, but if I recall, they have offered those types of courses in the past. I wish I knew their schedule.
Right. The grant writer?
At least check and see if they have some available. And they would have instructors who are trained in giving those courses if they have them in the near future, just as a first pass.
As Steve, as you're aware, and I've worked with that grant before over many years, like you have, usually that class comes up with that at Killingly, Mortlake, I believe.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I think the closest one this time was in Elizabeth for some reason. I don't know why.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, that it was out there. You know, this can be a combined effort, you know, with the help of the planner, if the departments are willing to do it, you know, depending on what your needs are, because everybody has, obviously, may have a different point, you know, need. I mean, she does write a lot of grants that hit a lot of, you know, narratives and so forth, so some of her expertise, just in basic grant writing, hitting those bullet points will help.
Just when I was speaking with the salesman at Shipman, getting the price on SCBA, he was telling me that, you know, okay, well, you know this, right, that when the people were looking at the applications, there's a cutoff point, you know, so you have to have key words, key points in your narrative, you know, and I'm just saying that, I mean, I understand that, you know, she's an intelligent person and has written many grants. It's just that there are specific grants there are specific workshops for this grant because they're so
competitive.
Right. My second thing was we hear from the Board of Finance that we never really go back and tell them what we spend their money on when they give us our stipend. What about the fire station? We just spent upwards of $15,000 on a fire gear washer extractor and a gear drying cabinet. In our department, when anybody who has gone into a building that is gone into a working fire, it's mandated that they wash their gear. We had a heavy-duty washer at the station, but it's not really designed for extracting the carcinogens that's trapped inside the gear. So some of the people were taking them up to the local laundromat, but those are set up for, even like the spin cycle, it is set up, the RPM is set way too high, the temperature of the hot water is way too high, and it was the possibility damaging and avoiding a warranty of the gear. So we bit the bullet and spent the money on this washer extractor and the gear cabinet. And once we get the bugs worked out as far as operating it, we will offer it to the other area departments, whether it's, you know, Mass, certainly all the Thompson departments, but, you know, anybody in Woodstock. We're just going to have it available for them. The gear cabinet, it cuts down. We can't physically put gear outside. After you wash, you can't hang out in sunlight and damage it. So what we ended up doing was putting a ladder inside our boiler room and drinking the gear over the over the ladder, and hopefully you have a call when you're here with this thing apart in 15 different pieces. So this basically washes the septic here and dries it within 3 hours. That's a huge improvement for us to be ready, and it makes people actually want to wash their gear and get it back in service. So I just want to put that out there, that some of the things that we got spending our money on.
Well, we've got 3 sets of gear,
that's
about $9,000. Anything else, Steve?
No. Thanks. Anybody else? Go ahead, Paul. Regarding the grants, I don't know if that looked into it, but a few years ago, there are actually manufacturers who were assisted. They're light grants,
oh, absolutely.
Because obviously they want to sell gear. That may be another avenue to look at. I want to commend the board of selectmen. You actually took an action tonight that didn't cost the taxpayers tons of money. You saved the taxpayers tons of money. Thank you. One of the things that disturbs me about the payphone and the library director stating that the payphone was it under the board of directors of the library purview, is that there's a conference room that's right behind the payphone. And the library director has to be asked to use, sign up to use that specific conference room. It's treated like your own little private house. You can't sign up like you can for the other conference rooms. If you want to use that one, you have to get permission from the library director. Now, how does that rate when the payphone is, oh, I don't have anything to do with the payphone, the conference room is my private little house. You seem to have some people in town who work for the town of Thompson, but think they are royalty. And again, tough decisions, not always popular, need to be addressed. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Hearing none. Very few tax refunds. I'll make a motion to refund $289.27 to Deborah Neuendorf, $114 to Nissan Infinity Leasing, $228.03 to Nissan Infinity Leasing, and $3.13 to Ron and Donna Rumwell. I have a second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. With that, that concludes our business. I'll entertain adjournment.
Hello.
All in favor? Aye. Thank you for coming.